our daily bread is tonight's devotion. The first three aspects of the Lord's Prayer are summed up in Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." We are instructed to direct our attention to God first in our focus in life. And here in the Lord's Prayer, it gives to us that same focus. We are to pray to the Father that his name be hallowed, that his kingdom come, that his will be done. And then the second part is given in this fourth petition. "And all these things shall be added unto you." What is it that God will add to us? Well, three things he has taught us to pray. Three P's: our provision, our pardon, and our protection. Give us this day our daily bread, focusing on God's care for our present need. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, focusing on God's care for our past. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, focusing on God's care for our future. And so as you study the Lord's Prayer, you see how comprehensive it is, how all-encompassing it is, how the Lord has thought through what is it that his creatures would need. And he framed this petition in order that we may be able to have a clear focus upon how we can receive completeness and fullness of blessings from God. Hence, we come to the fourth petition, which is the word provision. And you notice the order in the mind of God. We must always acknowledge him first. This is the rightful attitude, because we are creatures of God's creation. Two thoughts to guide us in this prayer: dependence and delight. Give us the bread of our necessity, the bread that we need for this day. This is a prayer not just for physical bread, but for God to furnish and to take care of all our physical needs upon this earth. May the Heavenly Father supply and provide for us today and day after day. This is a prayer acknowledging that God is a sustainer of our physical well-being. And you know, this prayer helps us to see the action of God supplying. This is a prayer request for God to provide, right, to put it in a very practical way, food on the table for our meals. In the environment that we live in today, where we see plenty of material supply, it is easy that we take for granted that God is the supplier of all these bountiful things that God has given to us. And so this prayer directs us back to God, that he is the supplier, that he is the one that on which we are to depend upon, and he is the giver of those needs that we have in this life. And if you think of it, it is also a prayer whereby we acknowledge and thank God for all he has done to supply our needs. The literal translation of this verse begins with our bread. So that is the focus in this petition, our bread. And if you think carefully, truly, this is our need that we are bringing before God for today. Give to us today. So you see that this petition is framed as a daily prayer. And why is it that God has to teach us to ask Him for bread, for our bread for today? And to ask that He give it to us? Well, it is to help us to understand and know and realize that we are truly dependent on Him for all our needs. It's so easy for us to forget that. And it brings to us a sense of humbleness, you know, that we are not the master of our destiny. God is. He is the one who provides. And one good example was during the time of the Exodus, when God brought Israel out of Egypt. How it was a good visual lesson for the posterity of God's people to know and understand that God is the sustainer of life. In Egypt, the Egyptians worshipped the Nile River because it represented the source of life. We have studied this before. You know, the Nile River would overflow its banks certain times of the year, and the most important people in Pharaoh's kingdom are the canal diggers, because those are the people, you know, who would build those channels, canals to channel water into reservoirs that would bring life to the whole desert plain. And so it is so easy for us to look at the gift and focus so much upon it that we forget about the giver. And the Egyptians worshipped the Nile River, worshipped the creation, and God had to bring Israel out of that kind of a wrong focus, out of that kind of an idolatry, to the desert place, in order for them to learn critical lessons. Truly, who is the true supplier of their needs? It was in the wilderness that God showed to them how dependent they are upon Him. Because in the wilderness, there was nothing they could do to help themselves. They were totally at the mercy of God. And it was there that Israel experienced the unmistakable provision of God daily, rained from heaven, and a double portion on the sixth day, so that they may rest on the Sabbath. Exodus 16, verses 16 to 35, gives this account of God's instruction to Moses to understand, to help us to give to us the framework for this prayer. Why is it a daily prayer? Well, it was framed so that, you know, we can daily be connected to the giver of life to us. Verse 16 of Exodus 16 says, "This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer of every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered, some more, some less. And when they did met it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. So you see how God gave that daily supply just good enough, you know, to be preserved for that day. And after that, it will turn back. So that the next day, they would have to go out again to gather that supply. And so God wanted them to have this understanding, this built in them, this discipline, to be dependent upon their God, that He is indeed the supplier of life, the giver of life to them. And they gathered every morning, verse 21 says, every man according to his eating, when the sun waxed hot and melted, and it came to pass on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omer for a man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses, and he said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you, to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses spake, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. It's a very clear visual picture of how God does provide for us, and He set a day of rest for us. And when we follow this same pattern for life, you'll find that God will also provide for our needs on the day that we will not work. There was a brother who invited us to his home, where his late father shared with us his testimony, how, you know, as a taxi driver, before he came to God, he would work 7 days a week. But after he became a Christian, he worked 6 days. And his testimony is that for the past 20, 30 years that he worked, God provided for him. And he says that his friend, who works 7 days and is not a believer, somehow cannot make ends meet. And yet for him, he worked 6 days, and how God provided for him. The same principle, the same visual picture that God wants us to learn and understand, that He provides for us a day of rest from that labor. Yes, He required us to go up and bring in that day's need, but He also provided a day in six, a day in seven for rest. And verse 31 says, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander's white, and the taste of it was like wafer made with honey. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations, as the Lord commanded Moses. So Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to the land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. And so this man was rehearsing the goodness of God, how God provided for him all this time as a taxi driver, so that he could bring up his family of young children. It is a visual picture that brings assurance to the hearts of God's people that God is able and he will take care of our needs. And when we ask in prayer, we are in fact doing so with grateful acknowledgement that God will indeed provide. The psalmist David said in Psalm 23, verse 1 and 2, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." He uses the imagery of the shepherd taking care of his sheep to depict that dependence of the sheep upon the care of the shepherd. And it's interesting that the King James translator uses the word "want" to describe how God would satisfy his people's needs instead of the word "need" to teach us that if we have God as our shepherd, we shall have no lack. And this was the testimony of David. How God is so good. He provided all that his sheep needed, green pastures and still waters. The Apostle Peter also understood this dependence he has upon his Lord for his sustenance. Remember in that incident in Luke chapter 5, Jesus has called him to follow as a disciple. And so he forsook the fishing nets, and he went with Jesus to be a fisher of men. And then somehow he stopped that following. And you know, the night or the day they went out fishing and they caught nothing. And then they were a little bit disappointed, you know, being good fishermen and yet couldn't catch anything. The Lord said to them, "Launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a draught." And Simon Peter obeyed the Lord. He let down the net and suddenly he caught a whole net full. And when he saw the catch, what was his response? You look at verse 8 of Luke chapter 5. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at his knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." He did not say, "What a catch." But he saw instead the glory of God, the glory of the giver. How, you know, if you have God as your supplier, you have no lack at all. There is no need for any other dependent. Let him be your sole dependent. He saw the glory of God. He saw the greatness of God. He saw the goodness of God. And he saw also his own depravity. Why? Because Jesus has told him, "Follow me." And yet, you know, he did not trust Jesus enough. He went back to his trade, and how he just, by his own strength, failed miserably. And so when he saw the glory of God, he realized his own fallenness, he realized his own unworthiness, he realized his own filthiness, his own sinfulness before God. He acknowledged the giver more than the gift. The trouble with us is that, you know, we love the gift more than the giver. That was the trouble in Egypt. They fell into idolatry. Peter realized who he was serving, the living God. What was Jesus teaching Peter? That Jesus is the sustainer of his livelihood, and that his Lord has given him the mandate to be fishers of men. And, you know, he would depend upon the Lord to give him success in this endeavor. He caught a whole net full. Indeed, when Peter began his ministry at Pentecost, the Lord gave 3,000 to be gloriously saved in that one day of evangelism. When we have God with us, we have all that we need. This is a prayer to teach God's people to be God sufficient, not to be self sufficient, to be God reliant, and not to be self reliant, to trust God alone instead of our own ability. That's why, you know, in John chapter 6, verse 68, the Lord asked Peter, "Will you also go away?" And Peter said, "To whom shall we go? Where else can we go? If you go away from the supplier, the only supplier, then you're not going to get any supply." He understood the logic, a simple logic, and yet, why is it that, you know, it has eluded all the 5,000 whom Jesus had fed earlier? I remember all left the Lord when he stopped feeding. They were all focusing upon the gift. They did not see that if they have the giver, then all their needs will be provided for. Lord Jesus wants them to love him. He is all that they need. The Lord wants us to love him. This leads us to the second thought: dependence and delight. Because he is the giver of all good things. You see, when we pray this prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," must it not remind us of this prayer the day before? Right? After we prayed yesterday, how God provided for us yesterday. And so when we pray this prayer today, we are reminded of what God has done for us yesterday. And so it is a prayer born out of delight. If you have truly experienced the good hand of God, then you would understand that, wow, truly God is good. We have been bountifully blessed of him. And therefore it is a joy for us to ask for this day's provision, knowing that he does and he will provide, because he loves us. So this prayer teaches us to love God, to delight in the giver, that he will surely give us the desires of our heart. Psalm 37 verse 4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Love the giver. The trouble we have is that we are attracted to God because of the gift. The 5,000 came because Jesus fed them. The natural man seeks God because of his gift. If he seeks just the gift, then he misses out on the essence of godliness. Not because God is going to bless us, but to make us like him. This is what God is doing for us. You know, one day we are going to reign like God as kings. And how do we reign? We reign with the character of God, with the attributes of God. That's why God brings us through, you know, this life giving us trials, giving us temptations, that we may learn His attributes. Because one day, you know, as princes today, we would be as kings in eternity, reigning with Christ. And when He would give to us our inheritance, when we inherit from Him the kingdom, you know, the true riches, then we would, you know how to truly appreciate these riches which God will give to us. Peter learned his lesson. That's why he wrote in his epistle in 1 Peter 1:8. He says, "Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." He saw the glory of God. He saw the power of God. You know, he says to the man sitting at the gate of the temple, "Silver and gold have I none, but this I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, Nazareth, rise up and walk." The Lord wants us to understand who He is. And He wants us to love Him for who He is. By way of application, we have this story of two men who stood at the gate of a great city. While they waited, a poor woman came to ask them for a few coins to buy bread for her children. The first man scowled at the woman and said, "I worked hard for my money. I gave of my own time and labor. I earned what I reaped. Go and do the same for yourself and your family." This woman began to walk away. But the other man followed her and said, "Poor woman, take this money, for it is not really mine. I do work hard for it, but it is by God's grace that I have it all. He gave me the talents I possess. He gave me my strength and knowledge. He has given life to us all. If I give to you, I simply give to you what He has provided." So true, isn't it? The Lord says, make good use of the unrighteous mammon, that I may one day give to you the true riches. This fourth petition teaches us to pray that God would freely give to us a competent portion of the good things of this life, and that we may enjoy His blessing. This is the shorter catechism. The two thoughts: dependence, delight. May the Lord help us to receive our daily bread with a renewed love for Him and for His people. May the Lord help us. May the Lord transform our prayer life. And also, may the Lord help us to understand how we can be a good steward for Him, for His own glory. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for teaching us how we need to ask Thee daily for our daily bread. Lord, we thank Thee for You have never failed to provide for us, but oftentimes we have failed to ask what You have already provided for us. Forgive us where we have not remembered Thy goodness toward us. O Lord, help us not to forget, but keep us focused upon Thee. Keep our love for Thee burning, that this love that we have experienced, this glory of Your life in us that we have seen, your goodness, your greatness, may we not take for granted. May we remember and not forget. May we not be like the Israelites who came out of Egypt, who saw all the miracles, all the goodness of God, and yet continue to murmur and complain. Oh Lord, help us to be a grateful people, a contented people, for surely you take care of us so well that we have no lack. And Lord, give to us that understanding, and so that thy peace, thy joy may abound in our hearts, that our daily life is not a daily grind, but a daily delight. O Lord, help us this, I pray.